Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It is easy to leave a burning building when it is on fire. But what if that building contains the very thing that gives you life, excitement, peace, joy, courage, and wonder? Will you be an agent of change, or do nothing and eventually leave? If you work in Catholic ministry, business, or education, and need quality content on your website or social media pages, contact The Simple Catholic for copywriting services at thesimplecatholic.blog and click on the writing services page for more information. The Church Militant needs soldiers against the enemy. Enlist The Simple Catholic in this fight for the truth. Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today.
This is Manager Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries, teaching what the Bible tells us are the best practices for handling money. And using these biblical principles will help you remove the debt that you've accumulated, no matter how small or how large your debt may be. We can show you how to put these principles into action through our new and revived six-week small group study called Faith and Money Matters. Simply go to compasscatholic.org, click on Books and Studies, and check out the topics discussed over those 6 weeks. Again, the study's title is Faith and Money Matters. My name is Steve Holbrook, and I'm joined by the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. Well, today's topic is titled Cheap versus Frugal. And these are two labels that a lot of our friends put on myself and my wife. But John, is there really a difference between being cheap, being frugal?
I don't know. I've been called both cheap and frugal. So, you know, and I'm just me. So I don't know if there's a difference or not.
Well, in my opinion, cheap means something that doesn't cost a lot of money. It's low quality. It's not worth a lot of money. And it's a person that's not willing to share or spend money on anything. And frugal seems like it's more about someone who's careful about spending money or using their money or supplies in a very careful way. So it's like just cutting costs because you don't want to spend money versus spending money wisely.
I think that I could identify more with frugal than cheap.
I would hope so. What about you, Steve? Are you cheap or frugal?
Fiscally conservative.
That sounds like a politically correct answer.
It is. That is the 21st century answer.
So in my opinion, a cheap person does anything to save a few dollars. Like, they'll invest a lot of time and energy in order to save a dollar or two, but all the time and energy they expend may not be worth the amount of money they saved.
So a cheap person will spend an afternoon repairing a $2 piece of equipment.
There you go, which may not be a wise use of their time.
Yeah, maybe I've done that before.
I know you have. Thus the cheap moniker.
So the whole focus is on dollars and cents, and it pretty much ignores the rest of their life, the other areas of their life.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the marks of a cheap person is that they'll take advantage of social situations to avoid spending money. Cheap has a negative connotation. It refers to a person who doesn't consider the value of their time, their energy, or the friendship and goodwill of others when it comes to spending money.
So they value money above all else, and that allows them to make spending choices, which actually will, in the end, alienate all the people that are around them.
If a group of friends is going out to dinner, a cheap person is going to insist on going to the least expensive restaurant, no matter what anybody else in the group thinks. Or maybe they're the type of person who is going to precisely pay down to the penny their part of the meal, but in that payment, they won't include a tip for the waiter or waitress.
Well, what about a frugal person, Evelyn? What are they going to do?
Well, a frugal person also wants to spend less money, but they balance their money-saving decisions against their lifestyle. So they know enough to balance saving money against other areas of life, such as time, energy, friendship, faith, love, and health.
So a frugal person, for example, might haggle for a lower insurance bill, but wouldn't take advantage of their friends in a social situation. Is that what
you're
saying?
There you go. Yep.
Okay.
A frugal person might reuse a takeout container. You know, like when we get soup at the Chinese restaurant, they'd reuse that. But they wouldn't invest the time to wash a flimsy sandwich bag that's going to fall apart after they wash it.
Yeah, I've only done that a couple times.
So a frugal person's going to make small sacrifices of their own resources, their time and their energy, to save money. But generally, they're not going to impinge on others to do so, and they're not going to sacrifice large quantities of their own resources to save a few pennies.
So a frugal person tends to account for the impact on things like relationships when deciding if a tactic's worthwhile. Let me ask you a question, and I don't know where this is going. As I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking about 30 years ago, when we had no money, we had huge debt, and I think in a lot of times we were both cheap and frugal.
Yes, but we never imposed that on anybody else. Like if our friends asked us to go out to dinner and we couldn't afford it, we would say, sorry, we can't afford it. We wouldn't say, sure, we'll go to dinner as long as we go down to the hot dog stand on the corner and it's only 50 cents for a hot dog.
Okay. Yeah, but you know, I think that there was things, and I'm thinking about people who might be in that situation today. They're thinking, well, I just, you know, I can't do those kinds of things. I need to wash out the sandwich bag. Now, I might only wash it out once before it falls apart, but I'll get two uses out of it instead of one use.
But they're not asking somebody else to wash the sandwich bag for them.
Probably not. I think that's a key.
How difficult is it, though, in that situation when friends ask you to go out, is it to say, we can't afford? Because when we meet with couples and their dining out budget is like blown out of proportion.
Astronomical. Yeah.
Some say it's tough. Friends ask and we hate to say no.
There's an ego and pride issue there. And it was hard for us to admit, we would say, no, we can't go. We got something else to do or what. To actually say, we can't afford to go, really goes against a lot of people's ego and their pride. You just have to kind of swallow that and not worry about it. Now, I think we probably said it enough because the prime instigator in a lot of our going out would call us up and say, we're going to go to this place, and it's only going to cost you this much.
And she still does that today.
Really? See, I would stretch that and go, and you're paying for this?
But it's a good lesson to share our vulnerabilities with each other. Yeah. I mean, so many times we've got this stoic exterior that nothing's wrong, everything's great. And I think that's where a lot of people run into financial trouble because they're keeping up this facade of wealth and what's the other word? Maybe peace and contentment when they don't really have that. And admitting that to other people helps the other people admit their vulnerabilities.
And we've had a few of these couples admit that while they're out dining, they're not enjoying it because they know this is something they really shouldn't be doing because it's something they really can't afford to do.
Well, especially if you go out with a group of people and, you know, you're trying to be conservative and just order dinner and everybody else is ordering wine or drinks or appetizers or desserts, and then the bill comes and they want to split it three or four ways. So you're paying for the other people's meals when you really can't afford even your own meal.
Right.
But, you know, I still look at what the costs are on the menu. If there's a huge differential between two meals, I'm always going to take the less expensive meal, the cheaper meal, the little cheaper meal.
Are you frugal?
I don't know.
But if you are not enjoying that meal and you're just buying it because it's cheaper,
right?
That's really being cheap and you're not balancing that against the other areas of life.
Yeah.
If it's kind of a wash and you want this or that and you kind of like them both the same and you decide on the less expensive one, then you're being frugal.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I'll pick frugal.
You want to pick cheap? Now, here's another example of the difference between being cheap and frugal. So we're shopping in the grocery store or the big box store, and there's two different types of trash bags. And the price on the first one is $30 for 300 bags. So it's 10 cents a bag.
All right.
The price on the second one is $25 for 200 bags.
Okay.
So that's 12 cents a bag.
Okay.
So which one's the better deal?
I don't know. How did I get closed?
Which fits the need?
Ah, very good, Steve.
Oh, is that the answer?
That's the answer, yeah. The 10-cent bag, the bag that's 10 cents a bag is flimsy, and you need to use two bags to hold the trash. So the cost per use is really 20 cents.
Got it.
Whereas the more expensive bag, you only need one to hold the trash because it's more sturdy. So the cost per use is 12 cents a bag. So making a decision solely based on price may not be the right choice if all you're looking at is price that you pay for the item, not the cost per use. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I was thinking about sandwich bags. I know you said trash bags someplace in that. You've got the fold-away sandwich bags, or you got the kind that have a closure at the top in some fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the ones that have got the closure are much better than the ones that just have a fold-over, tuck it down inside between the sandwich and the other side of the bag.
That's because we never use the bags for sandwiches. We always put something loose in there.
Well, I've used them for sandwiches before.
Yeah. Not so much anymore that we're not going
I was being out. Frugal and taking my peanut butter and jelly with me wherever I was going.
That's right. You do that.
See, to me, the difference between cheap and frugal, cheap would be just a peanut butter sandwich. Frugal, peanut butter and jelly.
And sometimes he uses bread. You know, being frugal just means balancing money savings against other factors. So where you can save money and it makes sense, you do it.
Well, here's another example, Evelyn. A frugal person jogs for exercise, and they're going to buy running shoes that best protect their feet and are appropriate for the use for actually jogging, probably on the pavement and that kind of thing. So their decision is made with their overall health in mind, not simply the cost of the new shoes. However, they will take advantage of year-end sales or coupons to buy those running shoes.
You know, and I was going to ask this question, and you may be covering this a little bit later on in the show. Is there a time when being cheap and frugal may not be in the best interest? And because I'm thinking running shoes. You don't want something cheap. You want a good pair of shoes because of what those shoes could do to your health. Well, I mean, especially your feet and legs.
I think you always want to do the least expensive thing possible, but where you don't want to cheap out is something like a wardrobe basic. For example, if you're working a good pair of black pants that you're going to wear three times a week, maybe. You know, when I was traveling, when I was working, I had a wardrobe staple that was black pants, and I took them everywhere I had to travel because they always worked. You could mix them with different things. So if you have a staple like that that you're going to use for a long period of time that's not fashion-driven, then I think it's best to not cheap out on that kind of stuff.
I've never really bought any clothes based on fashion.
Yes, we know.
And I'm thinking I've got an awful lot of shirts that I bought on the cheap that are still around.
I agree with you, like shoes. I'm like that with shoes. I will pay extra for dress shoes, but those shoes literally will last
years
15
and years.
Years.
Yeah.
Same with dress shirts.
Yes.
Because I wore white shirts all the time. I would spend a little extra because they had a longer shelf life.
And that way you didn't waste any money
exactly.
Buying cheap things that had to be replaced all the time.
Yes. Okay, for those that are listening today, how do you label yourself? Are you frugal or are you cheap? This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries. John and Evelyn Bean join me today. They're the co-founders of the ministry, and they're making a comparison between the label of being cheap or being frugal. So, John, where do you and Evelyn fall on this scale? How do you label yourselves?
I think that we're probably pretty frugal as frugal goes. You know, we've got a large cushion in our emergency fund. You know, we use all the products we buy.
I know we do. We get every little bit of every product that we can. Like we stand, I don't know if you guys do this or not, Steve, but we stand ketchup bottles or like mustard bottles on their head into the new bottle so that you can get
best practice for frugal people.
Especially with the Heinz ketchup, right?
Audrey's mother was the best because she would have, I don't care, it was peanut butter or mayonnaise, it doesn't matter. That glass was so clean inside, you couldn't find a speck of that stuff.
That's kind of how ours is.
And we still kid around. as she opens a jar of peanut butter and said, I'm getting ready to toss it on. She goes, oh, I can get another sandwich out of that.
I can get another six sandwiches out of it.
And I'm thinking, you're going to have to embed into the plastic.
I use a teeny tiny little spatula to get all the product out of makeup. I mean, it's about that big. It's about a half an inch. It really works. I mean, you can get a couple extra weeks.
There's a special name for that, isn't it?
It's a spatty.
A spatty. We saw it on
Shark Tank. The other thing I started doing was cutting off the toothpaste tube so that you can get all those little nurdles of toothpaste that are down in the where the cap is, because that's 3 or 4 days worth of brushing twice a day.
I usually roll those up and step on it.
I can't roll it that much. I can dig my toothbrush in there. Plus, haircuts are cheap or frugal in our house, right, John?
Can you imagine people listening to this show, what they must think of us? Forget frugal. This is like ultra cheap.
But the key is we've got money to spend on the things that are important
to
us, like travel.
Exactly.
Which is very important at this stage in our lives because we really love to travel and we've been able to take some wonderful vacations.
Yeah.
And we see ourselves as frugal, but we don't see ourselves as cheap because we maximize all the money we spend, but we also spend where our passions are. And I think that's the big difference.
So Evelyn has been cutting my hair since around 1992 or 93.
There's less and less of it to cut each week, so it gets easier and easier.
But I think that we've had to buy two sets of clippers in that time period. So that's, let's just say it's, 18 and 6, 24 years, 25 years she's been cutting my hair. We had to buy two sets of clippers. I'll bet you that we've saved enough money just on my haircuts to pay for a cruise.
And he looks fabulous, doesn't he?
Actually, your hair is always well-groomed, well-coiffed.
Doesn't take much.
Like I said, it gets easier and easier as he gets older.
Does she use a straight-edge razor and shave your neck?
No, we don't go that far.
Don't tempt me. So let's talk about some differences between being frugal and cheap. And these are some really, in addition to what we've given you, some commonplace examples where you can draw a line between the two of them.
So what about car maintenance? You know, if you follow the car manufacturer's recommended maintenance schedule, you know that that's going to prevent you from shelling out more money when something goes wrong with a car later on. If something does go wrong, well, you're going to get a quote from a couple different shops to make sure you get the best possible deal. And you look for discounts. You know, you get them in the email or you get them in the mail for oil changes or, you know, a senior citizen discount or if you belong to a certain organization that may have a relationship with an auto shop.
So that's being frugal.
Yeah.
Because you're looking for ways to save money, but you're still doing what you're supposed to be doing.
And all of these auto shops offer discount coupons on their websites.
Yeah.
If you just do your homework and spend 10 minutes, especially like on oil changes or tire rotation.
Right.
So what's the cheap version of car maintenance?
Well, you don't take the car to the shop until it's already broken. You're pushing it into the parking lot of the auto repair thing. Or, you know, you don't have your car checked before you go on a long trip to make sure everything's all right. It might cost you a few dollars before you leave, but if you're 1,000 miles from home and then the car breaks down, it's going to be more than just a few dollars. The delay in your trip and maybe overnight and stay that you didn't plan on. And
that could be bad.
You know, you're not going to be able to go to a dealer or an auto shop that you know, so you don't know if they're going to rip you off or not. There's all kinds of things there.
So let's talk about clothing. If you're frugal, you only buy what you need and base it on your clothing budget. And you invest in basics that can be worn in a variety of ways. And you focus on buying classic wardrobe items, not fads. So you go to the malls and you take advantage of sales and promotions. Like you said earlier, John, you use coupons to maximize the amount of money you spend. And you reuse your clothing from past seasons as long as they're in good condition.
You know, some of my classic wardrobe items are so old that they're now in tune with all the fads, you know, rips and tears and all that kind of stuff. I'm grooving.
So the cheap version of clothing is you buy clothing just for a special event and return it after you wear it. I've actually heard
nasty.
Of people doing that. Yeah, that really
is nasty.
Or you buy something that's not flattering just because it's the least expensive choice. That's always bad, too, because once it gets in your closet, you're really not going to wear it if it's not flattering to you.
Yeah, well, I don't have too many things that I can find that I can buy that are flattering, so you just have to make do.
He's giving us a hard time today, isn't he?
Yes, you are.
What about eating out? What's the frugal version of eating out, John?
You look at your budget, make sure you got money to eat out. You look for coupons, and you go to different sites to find the coupons or discounted gift cards, or bring leftovers home and eat it for snacks or lunch for dinner. You know, there's some people who won't eat leftovers.
We couldn't survive without leftovers. I mean, we plan leftover meals when we make the meal the first time.
Yes.
Because
yes.
If we're busy, we know, okay, we've got leftover whatever to have tomorrow night, so we don't have to cook again.
Exactly. Exactly.
You guys eat leftovers, don't you, Steve?
Yeah, actually, I enjoy leftovers. To me, there's more flavor in them.
Yeah, I agree with that. On a lot of foods. Most of them, you know, the flavor is maybe better the second time around than the first time.
Yeah, so we have no issue with leftovers.
Well, what about the cheap version of eating out, John?
Well, you buy the cheapest meal on the menu just to save some money, and you don't tip the waiter for the great service that they provide.
Let's talk about groceries. A frugal person buying groceries buys high-quality food at the lowest possible prices. So they buy the food at discount stores, go to clearance section, use coupons, or do buy one, get one free. You buy in bulk to save as long as it's something you're going to use, and you stock up on those items that you're going to use regularly. Now, what's the cheap version of groceries?
Well, you know, I want to take issue with one of those frugalities.
Uh-oh.
Buying in bulk to save.
I said if it's something you'll use.
Yeah, and but see, that's a problem for most people because they'll buy stuff that they're not going to use at all, but because it had such a good price per ounce or price per pound or whatever, they'll buy, you know, the big package of it. But then by the time they get around to eating the end of it, it's raunchy stuff.
Well, it depends on if it's food, you might want to put it in the freezer if there's too much to eat all at one time. But I'm thinking here of things like paper towels, toilet paper.
Consumables.
Stuff that you isn't going to go bad on you before you get a chance to use it.
Okay.
I hate spending money for paper towels and toilet paper. I mean, you buy something to throw it away.
Right.
It just doesn't make sense.
You know, one thing I want to mention about being frugal, a friend of ours who's in the food business, he mentioned the generic brands, the store brands of canned goods.
Mm-hmm.
And he said there's no difference between the green beans from a name company and generic. He said they come from the same people. It's just that the generic may not be perfect cut, or each green bean may not be the same length. He said that's why companies sell those to a third party who label them the brand of a grocery store that you shop. He said, but it's the same product.
John, have you ever noticed that your green beans weren't the same size?
Well, you know, that's what's funny. That's what I told him. I said, you know, I never even look. When Audrey opens up a can of, let's say, of green beans, I said, I never look to see if they're the same length or one may not be a perfect cut.
What about peas? Do they make sure all the little peas are the same size?
He said all the generic stuff come from the same place.
But, you know, I have noticed, and I believe that because it's just there's too much. It would be too much waste if you didn't do that. But I have noticed once or twice upon a time, enough so that I won't buy the generic typically, that there is a difference in the taste. And
well, you try the generics, and if it works, you buy it consistently. And if not, then you go back to the other one.
I guess that's right.
Yeah, if you put the green beans in an ingredients like the typical Thanksgiving meal with the mushroom soup, whatever that's
Audrey's
called.
Audrey's special recipe?
Yes. I mean, I don't know if you can taste the difference in beans. Me, personally, I don't know. Maybe there might be a bean aficionado.
Of course we're bean aficionados here. But I agree with you. It depends on how you're using it and what you're using it for.
Maybe when I pick up that generic can of green beans, if I just say, ho, 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 then it'll be good.
Read the ingredients. It's identical.
Well, that's true on a lot of products. You just have to check out what you're buying and know what it is because it is the same. What about health products when it comes to frugal versus cheap?
Well, I buy healthy food. I'm not going to admit to exercising regularly. You might go to the park instead of the gym to do your workout. That would be a good frugal thing to do. You make your own food and stay away from the processed products. even when they cost less. You know, you're doing it because you know that healthy living will save you more money later on when it comes to healthcare bills.
And the cheap version of that is buying processed food or foods packaged with a lot of unhealthy ingredients, like too much sodium, just so you can save money because they're cheaper. What about kids' stuff? If you're frugal, you buy only what your kids need, and you're more than happy to have your kids wear hand-me-downs from friends and family. And the same for used toys that are in good condition. The kids aren't going to notice that they have a used toy.
Right.
But if you're cheap, you use baby products that may not be safe for reuse. For example, if you're using a car seat that may already have expired because it was cheaper. So you want to make sure that your safety of your children is first and foremost.
Okay.
So, John, wrap us up.
We do encourage people to be frugal, and we do not encourage you to be so cheap that your life is miserable. You know, being a good steward is kind of a balancing act. You're spending money on what's important to you. You're saving money in those areas where it's not quite so important. And you're not wasting any money frivolously. In Proverbs 28:22, we're told misers hurry toward wealth, not knowing that want is coming toward them. Life is short. Enjoy it, but be responsible.
That is so true, John. Be responsible indeed. Now, if you missed any portion of today's show, or maybe you'd like to share it with a family member or friend, it's available on demand. Simply go to compasscatholic.org. On the homepage, you'll find the button for podcast. Click it on. Not only will you find this one called Cheap versus Frugal, Is There a Difference? But you'll find an archive of all the shows that we have done over the last couple of years. And our custom is we like to answer a couple of the emails that we received over the last couple of weeks. Here's one for you, John and Evelyn. My husband and I are looking at buying a larger home, mostly because we want a 3-car garage. Is that a valid reason to buy a new house?
Well, the big question is, do you really need a 3-car garage? If you don't really need it, I wouldn't be buying a more expensive house just to get a 3-car garage. Instead, I'd focus on paying off the mortgage. The less debt that you have, the better you'll be able to weather any kind of a downturn in the economy.
And maybe you just need to get rid of some of your junk so you don't really need the 3-car garage, right?
Evelyn, I think you are exactly right. Okay, one last question. John and Evelyn, I'm 53 and single, and I'm going to stop procrastinating and finally do it. I'm going to get a will. How do I start?
The best thing to do is to get your financial statement together, along with making some key decisions, such as who you're going to leave your estate to, and then meet with an estate attorney who will draft your will. But always, always ask in advance what the cost of preparing the will is going to be. Steve, by the way, let me put in a plug for our Set Your House in Order study and workbook. It's a great, great tool to help someone get their estate in order.
It truly is a great study. It'll help you organize all those key documents. Again, to preview this study, go to compasscatholic.org, click on Books and Studies, and look for Set Your House in Order. For John and Evelyn Bean, thank you so much for listening. Remember, we have a brand new podcast for you every Wednesday morning, bright and early. Simply go to compasscatholic.org, click on Podcast. This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We're from Compass Catholic Ministries.
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at CaneFord.com.